Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 6. Turn over there in your bulletin if you don't mind. I want to look at it in detail this morning. But before we look at it, I want to ask you a question. And I want to say up front, I don't want you to answer the question out loud. And I say that because I think everybody's gotten used to I ask some things from the pulpit and you're allowed to answer out loud. You've kind of gotten used to it. So you got the instructions, do not answer it out loud. And once you hear the question, I just want you to think about it. Here's the question. Do Christians behave better than other people? Don't answer that. Some of you are not complying. Mark. No. Are Christians better behaved? Are Christians nicer? Are Christians friendlier? Are they more pleasant to get along with? Now, I don't want you to answer out loud because I want us to talk about it. And I want us to get, you know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about that the Bible is both law and gospel. If you've been around a Lutheran church much, you've heard that many a time. The Bible includes the law of God, His holy will for your way of living. He says to do these things, to not do those things. If a verse begins with the words, thou shalt not, that's the law. But the gospel is in there, the promises of God, His grace, His love, the things that Christ has done that you don't do but just receive, that's the gospel. Old and New Testament both have both law and gospel. It's not that one is better than the other, but it's just that one is weak to save. You're not saved by keeping the law. And so when I say that are Christians better behaved than other people, I could see some, most of you didn't answer out loud, but I could see the heads doing this. And you're thinking, Pastor, I actually don't like your question. I think your question mixes law and gospel. Because one of the possibilities, if I say, are Christians better behaved, one of the corollary questions might be, do Christians still sin? And the answer to that is yes. So here's what we say. I'm a child of God. I still commit sins. So when the pastor says, are Christians better behaved than everybody? The answer to that must be no. And I want to say this. There's a truth there. But I want to say some other things about it too. And as I do, I want us to look at Romans chapter 6. And as we get our way to Romans 6, I want to review a little bit about the first five chapters of Romans. Don't worry, we're not going to talk about all five chapters in great detail. You're thinking, how long is this sermon? Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. Those are heavy chapters of the Bible. Two chapters where Paul lays it out there. He says that we have a sin problem. We are fallen away from God. We're alienated from Him and His will. And it's not just a theological thing. It has consequences. And Paul lists things. If you read Romans 1 and chapter 2, it's full of all kinds of heaviness. It's full of the specifics. Paul is graphic in his details. He says, people do this and this and this. And you read it, you're like, wow, Paul, man, you're laying it on. And he actually goes on to say, by the way, when you read these chapters, don't say it's other people. Romans 2 is very clear. This is all of us. They're so heavy. You would read Romans 1 and 2 and say, the law is so condemning. How is anybody ever saved? Where does the answer to that come? Romans chapter 3. I'm hearing people in the congregation saying Jesus, which of course is the right answer. But Romans chapter 3, Romans 1 and 2, sin and its consequences. Romans chapter 3 says, guys, all that behind us, there's a righteousness that's been revealed from God. And that righteousness is apart from the works of the law. And that righteousness is not about what you're going to do. That righteousness comes by faith in the crucified one. That's what Romans 3 talks about, the entire chapter. And then Romans chapter 4, by the way, he says, it's not just a new thing. Abraham was saved by faith. Read Romans chapter 4. It says, by the way, the law of Moses, which comes first, Abraham or Moses? Abraham. Abraham discovered justification by faith. He believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And that's before the giving of the law. So he says, guys, the Bible has always said you're saved by faith. Romans chapter 5. Remember last week we read from that chapter, and I read Romans 5:1. It's a memory verse, by the way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful verse, right? How are you saved? Grace of God, won for you by Christ Jesus. And how do you receive it? You receive it by faith. Not by who you are, not by what you do. Now, that's a wonderful little section of the Bible, Romans 1-5. It fits together as a piece. But I want to say something funny. I don't think the other churches that ever heard this, other church services, so I'm going to say it right here. Has anybody ever heard that Roman Catholics will criticize Lutherans by saying that we only ever read Romans 1-5? You hear what they're saying? So we say, we go on this thing, Romans 1-2, the law, Romans 3, you're saved by faith, Romans 4-5, you've been justified by faith like Abraham, etc. And I think they're on to something. They say to us, you guys talk about this, that sin, then grace, it's law, then gospel, and then all the Lutherans stop at Romans chapter 5 and ignore the rest of the book. Maybe sometimes we do that. Paul is aware of that. So this morning our appointed reading began at verse 12. I don't want to begin at verse 12. I want to begin at verse 1. Romans 6:1, saying all that we've said. We're lost in sin. We're saved by faith. And Romans 6:1, St. Paul says this, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, the book doesn't stop at chapter 5, and Paul is getting this. I want us to pause for a second, he says, and get this. Some people are going to misunderstand, and it's always possible, no matter what you say, for it to be misunderstood. And so he says, some people are going to hear that they think it goes sin, then grace, then permissiveness. And Paul says, is that what the Bible is saying? The answer is what? No. In fact, he says it strong here. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer, by no means. There are some people who live like that. They'll say, well, if I've been saved by grace, it's not by keeping the law, then my sin matters not. Is that the gospel? Sin any way you want because God will cover it? It's not. That's not the gospel. And so St. Paul says that in Romans 6:1. He's going to say it later in Romans 6:15. But before we get there, and if you're taking notes in your bulletin, I want you to, I'm going to point out a couple words I want you to circle. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. I want you to circle the word reign. The Greek verb there is basileo. That's the verb. The noun version of that is basileos, and basileos means king. So circle the word reign, and above it put the word king. He's saying you're saved by grace through faith. Should sin be the king of your life? No. Okay, clear as it can be, right? Now, end of that paragraph, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you're not under the law, but under grace. And so circle the word dominion. The word there in Greek is kurioio, and that is the verb, and the noun of that is kurios, and kurios means Lord. So you see it? Verse 12, king, circle dominion, write the word Lord. In this chapter, or in this paragraph, he says, is sin supposed to be your king and your Lord? No. You belong to God. You've been redeemed by Christ. It's a free gift. You did not earn it. You're not saved by keeping the law. Having been saved by keeping the law, does this mean that you can live any way you want and that sin ought to reign? No. You see the two words, king and Lord. Now, if sin is not your king and Lord, who is to be your king and Lord? Jesus. Now, here's what he's saying. You're saved by grace through faith. That makes a difference. You see what he's saying? Now, if it does make a difference, think about this. Ought Christians to behave a little better than everybody else? Now, we could say the answer is no, because we're all sinners, and there's a truth there. But there's another truth there, and that truth is that if Christ has made a difference, then yes, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. St. Paul again lists a bunch of sins. Again, he's graphic in his description. He lists serious things. And he goes, this. I'm not going to read them because it's gory, but he says, but this is what he asks. He begins by saying, do not be deceived. Those who walk like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's a law message. I get it. But what's the next verse? Such were some of you. I love that phrase. Memorize that. Such were. What tense is were? Past tense. So here's what Paul doing. Paul is setting a contrast between what we used to be and what we are. So this is the beautiful part of that passage. He's saying, here's a list of sins. He's not saying that people that commit those sins cannot come into the kingdom of God. He's saying the opposite. He's saying everybody, no matter whatever sins they've committed, are welcome into the kingdom of God. But once they're in the kingdom of God, what shall they do? Leave those behind. You see? Now, are we going to stumble and fall? Yes. Are we going to live sinless lives? No, of course not. But he is saying this, some of you were that, but now you're this. And it's the same thing he says in Romans chapter 6 when he says you've been brought from death to life. You see the same contrast? What you were, what you are. What's the difference? Being in Christ, right? We have to see that, being in Christ. Now, by the way, memorize that verse. Such were some of you. There's sometimes people think, well, I have this sin that makes me outside the kingdom of God. There's no such sin, but God does say, were past tense, don't walk that way any longer. Now, verse 13, don't present your members to sin as instruments. What he's saying, he means your body. Sin is a spiritual problem, but what Paul is saying is that when we have that spiritual problem, it often expresses itself in practical ways of how we live. Don't present your members to sin. Present yourself to God as those who've been brought from death to life. Now, brought is passive voice. When the Bible has passive voice, not always, but very often, it implies who is the one that does it. Brought means I was acted upon, not that I did it, not that I made myself righteous, but if I've been brought from death to life, who brought me? God did. Jesus did. So sin will not have dominion over you since you're not under law but under grace. And then verse 15, he does it again. He says, are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? Again, he knows some people are going to hear, well, the gospel is such a wonderful message. Now we have carte blanche. What's Paul say? By no means. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to say, guys, there's either A or there's B. And the rest of this chapter will set up a contrast. You need to be in this place or that place. There's either sin or there's righteousness. There's either rebellion or there's righteousness. And you're under grace or you're under law. We might say, well, that seems exclusive. Here's what I want us to get. By the way, he says it's like being a slave. If you're a slave, you either serve this master or that master. And he uses the word slave. I know that's a strong word, but he lives in a world that understood that. And he's saying, you either submit to this one or you submit to that one. We would say, you're playing for one team or the other. Right? You guys probably know that you cannot root for South Carolina and Clemson. That is strictly forbidden. You see people wearing garnet and orange. That's not right. You got to pick a side. And St. Paul is saying it's like that. And in saying this, I want us to notice he has an interesting insight. He's going to say, you're either this or that. You're on this side or that side. You're A or B. He says, I'm speaking in verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. But he says, for just as you once presented your members as slaves, see the past tense again? That's what you used to be. This is what you are. But here's the insight. You used to be slaves to sin. And he says this, to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. His insight is this. We already said, believers commit sin, right? But believers commit sin and have sorrow over it. And they return to God in repentance and gladly receive his forgiveness. But the reason it uses the phrase lawlessness leading to more lawlessness is we live in a day where a lot of people say this, that, or the other thing is not even a sin at all. And if you live there, what are you going to get? more sin, right? We live in a world that says you can sin this way, and if it's okay to sin that way, what are you going to do? Keep sinning. So sin leads to more sin, leads to yet more sin. Nowadays, we call that addictive behaviors. The Bible has that insight. Do not engage in lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, but present your bodies as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Now, ought Christians behave better? There's two challenges, and I want to mention them and just to have looked at them. Christians are called to lead a sanctified life. You've been saved by grace through faith in Christ. You're called to live a life that's better. You are. That's Romans 6. Don't stop at 5. Read on. But I want to be clear about this. Some churches, here's one of the warnings, some churches preach so much about sanctification, you start to get the idea that you're saved by your righteous living. You are not saved by your righteous living. You're saved by grace. You're always saved by grace. You continue to be saved by grace. So we don't want to preach just sanctification. We don't want to omit sanctification. Here's the other thing we want to avoid. Sometimes people talk about the sanctified life so much they teach us to look at ourselves. I'm not supposed to be looking at myself. Where am I supposed to be looking? I'm supposed to be looking at Christ the Savior. So Paul ends the chapter. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 1-5, sin and grace. Romans 6, this makes a difference. Are Christians to be better behaved? You could say no, and there's a truth there. Let me try it this way. If I'm not supposed to be looking at myself, I might say the answer is yes, but they don't make a big deal about it. Is that a possible answer? Yes, but they don't make a big deal about it. Because it's still about Christ the Savior. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.